Do you ever feel like when you wake up, you think to yourself, I just do not do enough for God. I feel like I need to be doing more. I see so many people who have like these radical ministries and faith, and so many people are being helped. And all I do is, well, I just go to church. This podcast is for you. The whole idea of radical Christianity, radical discipleship, I need to do more. I need to do something extraordinary for God. That's a pressure that God never designed to have on anybody. But yet he gives you a promise of how you can do something for the kingdom. And it's called, well, ordinary. Stay tuned. If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism, Reformed theology, really, how it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org. Welcome to Theocast, encouraging weary pilgrims to rest in Christ. Conversations about the Christian life from a Reformed and pastoral perspective. Your hosts today are Justin Perdue, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina, and John Moffitt, I'm the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. If you skipped all that, because you hit the 30-second skip, this is what I want you to hear. Our goal today is to clarify the gospel by pulling the clutter off of it and reclaiming the purpose of the kingdom, which is not, Justin, cultural transformation. So we've got some interesting things to talk about today.
Coming in hot.
I'm sure it'll be a lively conversation, depending on the title, if you've seen it already. But before we jump into it, hey, Justin, tell them about something cool we got coming up, maybe early spring in the Asheville area. What's we doing over there?
John, are you talking about a conference?
Something like that.
Word is, the rumor has it, that Theocast is having a conference next spring. Mm-hmm. Precisely April 11th and 12th. That's a Friday, Saturday. In Asheville, North Carolina. And we'll have a probably pre-event hang on Thursday night, a little
Thursday
podcast,
night.
Like a little early. Pre-event live right. Meet and greet podcast recording Friday morning, and then the conference Friday afternoon through Saturday afternoon. And yeah, we'd love to see a number of you there. I do believe by the time you're hearing this, for sure, registration is live and in color.
It is, and it's probably going to sell out.
Somewhere in the internet.
So yeah. If you don't register soon, we do have it set to close.
Space
is very limited on this one. It's like 200 and what, how many slots do we have?
It's 250-ish,
something like that. Ish. So smaller venue. But mm-hmm. Chad Bird, did you already say this? Chad Bird and Ken Jones? Oh, tell them about the speakers. Oh,
yeah. Well, you already named them. Chad Bird and Ken Jones are going to be joining you, John, and me, Justin. We're going to, the four of us, be giving talks on the law and the gospel and the significance of the distinction that exists between those two. And we haven't planned the content in great detail yet, but it's a subject that we all are pretty passionate about. And
yes, it is.
We're going to be doing panel discussions and all kinds of things. We'll sing. We're going to have a lot of time built
Lots
in to hang
time to fellowship,
and enjoy each other. So we hope to see many of you in North Carolina next April, God willing.
Lord willing. If you are new to Theocast and you'd like to learn more about our community, we have a growing community of almost 1,600 people in our app, which includes all of my sermons and Justin's and all of our podcasts and articles. We have 27 or 30 different classes that you can take, and that continues to grow.
I'm going to take your word for it, John.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at the current number. I know it was between 27 and 28, something like that. Anyways, Justin, you and I just got done with GRN. And
we did.
Man, what a great time. You know, praise the Lord for those of you that have been praying for the Grace Reformed Network.
The Grace Reformed Network. There it is.
That's right. A network that you and I are a part of. Not a part of Theocast, but something that you and I get to participate in as church planters. And we have, the Lord graciously has allowed us to add 5 more churches into the networks. We're at 15 churches. If you'd like to learn more about that or support us, you can go to gracereformnetwork.org. But the reason I mentioned it is that we just got done with our General Assembly, our first one, and we had a conference. And at that conference, we talked about the ordinary means of grace and just how powerful they are. And man, I was so encouraged. You can go to our website or you can go to Theocast, join the community. They'll be in there for free as well. So another plug for the community. But I was just so encouraged by the lectures of thinking through the ordinary means of grace. And that kind of led us to today's topic, which is the opposite of the ordinary means of grace. At times, Justin, we are encouraged to live a radical Christian life. So tell us, why are we talking about radical discipleship? What radical Christianity today?
Yeah, I mean, radical discipleship, truth in advertising, right? Pull the curtain back. It's a title that probably people will search for and find. And what we want to do is set that up as a foil to maybe redefine what radical looks like in our current Christian moment. To be committed, I'll just go ahead and do this and not bury the lead. To be committed to not only the ordinary means of grace in the gathered church, but to be committed to an ordinary life in the church, in the fellowship of the saints, is a radical way to live the Christian life in our day. Mm-hmm. Because it's not what you hear preached, taught about, encouraged, et cetera. Generally, the exhortations are always like, you need to do something big and shiny and marvelous for God. And that might be defined differently depending on who's saying it. But there is kind of baked into that cake the idea that the way that we would be faithful to Jesus is to do this massive thing that is going to literally turn the world inside out. And that we're going to change the world for Jesus, which don't hear what I'm not saying. To seek to herald Christ, to love neighbor, to be a part of the church so that God will save his people is a wonderful way to use your life. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about that today. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing to give your time to give your talent to, your effort, your energy, all of that. But I think what often happens is we become so enamored with the big and the impressive, or the, as we view it, the extraordinary, that we miss so many things that are right in front of us. And that might be our spouses and our children. That might be just our neighbor, quite literally, like on our street. That might be our brothers and sisters in the church who need us. Because we're so, like, our eyes and our hearts and our minds are elsewhere for, regarding all these big things that we're going to do with our lives. We're actually not where we are. We're not where our feet are. And we're not just faithfully loving, serving, gathering, eating bread and drinking wine in the supper. We're not just gathering to sit under the preaching of God's word, which is actually God speaking to us, right? And we've become disenchanted even with the Lord's Day gathering. Like, we think there's nothing extraordinary to be seen here because we do it every week. And we lose sight of the fact that God really meets with us, that he's really present with us, and he is present with us uniquely in his word and in his sacraments, and he does extraordinary things through those ordinary means. So all of that is lost sight of. And effectively, I mean, why are we bringing this up too? Is because I think there are a lot of people who listen to this show, and I would count myself among this number. This can always be my tendency, is to be a go-getter, to achieve, to accomplish. And you end up exhausted, man. Like, a lot of people are tired. And our zeal to do something big for God is killing us, effectively, is how I think many people experience the Christian life. And yeah, like you said, people burn out, people become disenchanted, people run off into all kinds of things. As a result,
I have people in my church because they got burnt out trying to find that and they needed a place to rest. I know people that aren't in church at all because they got burned out.
Exactly.
By trying.
And the Lord keeps his own. I mean, you know, and the book's not written on these people, but yeah, at the same time, this is real.
One's salvation, like, but it is one about one's experience in the kingdom's mission. And that's the thing that's been really fascinating me lately, Justin, is that the promises of Christ towards his own, that's what we want you to rest in. We want you to rest in the sufficiency of Christ for you. And then that should affect the way in which you live in the kingdom. It really should. But unfortunately, when we miss the resting part, we turn to the radicalness of Christianity, or we turn to, you know, the righting the ship. You know, some people it's radical. Some it's time to right the ship because, you know, it's sinking or whatever. And we've lost the concept of finding the sufficiency of Christ in all of life. Therefore, yeah. I'm then going to let that right. bleed on to others.
Right.
But Joseph, when I think about the biblical narrative of history, we can go outside the Bible narrative, but just in the Bible narrative, the people who ended up doing the most extraordinary things were because God drugged them into it. Think about it this way. Abraham, dude, that guy was not trying to be extraordinary and really tried hard not to be multiple times.
Moses like was basically like, will you send somebody else, please?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Joseph was just like captured, yeah. you know, thrown in prison, just trying to survive. You think about the Apostle Paul, who was attacking the church. The disciples sure. were out fishing. You know, it's just funny sure. in which
it's true.
The people who ended up doing the most significant parts of the narrative were not extraordinary people. I mean, Moses was definitely not an extraordinary man.
He wigged out all the time that he couldn't speak well.
Right. You know. And the reason I mention that is that sometimes we think we have to be this powerfully extraordinary, you know, there has to be something unique and special about us. And we think our lives are insignificant because we're not some crazy, either donating millions of dollars to the church or some crazy missionary that's out there. And it can become overwhelming to the point where you're not effective at all, because it's like you're either a rock star, right? Or you're nothing.
Yeah.
You're either all in or you're all out.
Yeah.
And I have that kind of a personality, Justin, mm-hmm. where I'm either kind of the all in and all out kind of a guy. And I learned early on, it burns you out.
Yep. I learned through, I think, not only things that I read, but I learned a lot through godly people around me who were more mature and older, who were like, look, the way that this is accomplished, meaning ministry or the Christian life, the way that this is done is ordinary faithfulness over the long haul. Like, it is plodding. It is put one foot in front of the other, looking unto Christ, and do that again tomorrow, right? And you keep at it. You can't be so focused and obsessed with the goals and all the achievements, or you're gonna burn out. It's gonna be a sparkle mm-hmm. and fade situation, and you're gonna become ineffective. Yeah, I think that's entirely right.
Go. No, go ahead. I'll jump in after.
Somewhere along the way, dude, you know, even think about. Now, I realize I'm referring to something pre-fall. Mm-hmm. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. We don't have a lot of detail, but we can surmise some things about what they were called to. Mm-hmm. They were called to a relatively simple life, if you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they had fellowship with God. They had a perfect relationship with each other, where they were naked and unashamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were to tend the garden, the earth, the land, the space that God had given them to inhabit. They were to take care of it. There were, you know, creatures around them, things like this. And they were just to enjoy God's gifts and to enjoy the place that God gave them and enjoy each other. And they were to do this in relationship with the Lord, seeking to flee from sin, right? I mean, and obey God, yes. But just to love Him, be loved by Him, to know Him and be known by Him. It was a simple life, man. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, we have become very unenamored with that. And we would look at that kind of a simple life of knowing God, loving God, seeking to, you know, flee from sin, but loving the people that God has put in my life, taking care of the things that God has given me and enjoying His gifts and His blessings. We would look at that as a woefully insufficient Christian life. And to me, that's backwards somehow. Like, we've introduced all of these things that one must be doing in order to be, you know, a radical disciple, right?
Well, we think it's ineffective. Like, it's not going to do anything. God requires more of us. Well, what I was going to say, and this perfectly dovetails with what you were just saying, Justin, is that when you think about the commands of the New Testament writers, they're very much focused on the relationship that we have with each other in the church, yep. right? Consider how to build one another up. love one another, pray yep. for one another, give to one another, fellowship, yep. sing, right? Bear one another's burdens, right?
Well, brother, and even the prohibitions, the law of Christ. Even the prohibitions are about don't do this because it's going to hurt people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so simple
yeah.
in those regards. Yeah.
The God advances, he draws people out of the kingdom of darkness. He brings them from death to life through the ministry of the word, through the ministry yeah. of the church. Yeah. When someone comes yeah. to Christ, you know, sometimes, Justin, I've been involved in like evangelistic outreach ministries where mm-hmm. they'll go into a city and all these thousands of people get saved, or this crusades yeah. or whatever. And then they kind of like recommend a church. Well, what's interesting is that God has designed his people when they come to Christ to then be nurtured and discipled and cared for by the local body. That means you have elders who are trained and equipped, therefore teaching these young converts. And there are older believers setting an example of what does it look like to be led by your elders? What does it look like to be discipled and trained and to give week in and week out? To the radical part of our faith is to say no to the world, mm-hmm. say no to its desires in the flesh, and say, I'm going to exert my energy and my time with the people of God, and I'm going to use the mission of the church week in and week out through the preaching of the word, the fellowship, yeah. through singing and prayer, the sacraments. And I'm going to do that as God continues to add. And then I'm going to take all of this energy and love and affection and the supernatural spirit coming in and strengthening my soul. I'm going to use it to love my neighbor well, and that God might take the planting of that seed and water it and bring them to faith, right? It's just plotting day in, day out, looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. And after 40 years of your life, who knows what the Lord's going to do with that? But I would rather a faithful servant serve 40, 50 years in the church than one spend 4 years, burn out. They got real famous, but no one really was affected by it.
Yeah.
And all we remember is, oh yeah, one day there was this famous person who had a TikTok or something like that. And now yeah. no one even knows who they are anymore.
I know. In the age in which we live, I think there are unique temptations.
Yeah.
But that's maybe another conversation. Let's talk a little bit about word and sacrament, because mm-hmm. it's hard to, we teed this up from the beginning. It's hard to have this conversation about yep. discipleship without talking about the means of grace. And we, again, refer you to the messages given at the pre-conference portion mm-hmm. of the General Assembly for GRN, if you want to be encouraged at more length. But think for a minute about how God uses these ordinary things in the lives of his people. Mm. So when we gather, and you have to ask yourself, as you're sitting there listening, I mean, ask yourself, do you believe this? And I'm confident that you do. When we gather in the church on the Lord's Day and the book is opened and it's read, or the book is opened and it's preached, it's true that it is a human voice that we hear. And at the same time, we believe that that is really God speaking to his people. And this is like 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I think, where Paul says that you received what we were saying, not as the words of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, right? It's like, wow. I mean, what a category, you know, to have where we believe that God really speaks. And that through a human voice, as his word is opened and read and expounded, mm. and as Christ is heralded, the Lord himself talks to us. Mm. Like, jeepers. Like that helps you, helps me, you know, mm-hmm. even whether I'm prepping a sermon or whether I'm going and I'm going to be sitting under the word myself on Sunday, that helps me to think about what in the world we're really doing. Or mm. think about the sacraments for a minute. It's like, all right, baptism. Well, the water that we use for baptism, I mean, it came out of the spigot or the hose or whatever. The bread and the wine or the bread and the juice, it's like, hey, we ordered it off Amazon, bro. So it's like the elements, or you got it around, you know, at the store around the corner. It's like, so the things themselves are very ordinary things, but yet we believe, because God has said so, that this water, this bread, this cup, like the Lord is really present. Mm-hmm. with us in these things. And he is present to bless. He is present to restore. He is present to forgive. God is everywhere all the time. That's true. And he is uniquely present for his people at particular places at particular times. And we believe that in the water and in the bread and the cup, he's there. He's with us. And so as we eat and we drink and we pray, we are encouraged and we're built up, we're sustained, we're strengthened by God's very presence with us and for us. Like, this is what we do when we gather as a church. And so let's never dismiss these things as, oh, well, this is just mundane. Mm-hmm. This is just ordinary. It is ordinary things, a human voice, water, bread, juice, wine, ordinary things that God then uses and inhabits to accomplish extraordinary purposes and extraordinary ends in the lives of his people. And it's a way that he presences himself, if I can use that as a verb. He is present with us in these things, and that is far from ordinary.
Hey guys, real quick, some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community. And we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there. Past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there. And you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.
No, Justin, there's a question we haven't asked in a long time, but yeah, I love asking people, what is more important according to scripture, the preaching of the word or the table? And the answer is yes.
Yes. That is one of those times where the ambiguous yes is necessary. They are both significant.
Yeah, that's right. So a little bit of an outline from a sermon that I preached, and if you want to go back and listen to the lectures, but what often, Justin, happens is because we're an anemic in our understanding of what the table does, we don't see it as a means. And I think it's an ironic phrase to me. There's a double entendre when it says ordinary means. There's nothing ordinary about it.
That's right.
We're the elders, by the means of the instructions of Christ, they blessed the table. And at that moment, it becomes gospel food for the soul. And so what we learn from scripture is that the first thing it does is it takes our eyes off of us. What does Jesus say? This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But we don't do this. We've been trained to think about ourselves, right? We go to the table and it's all about how I perform and how well I'm doing. And Jesus is like, no, no, no. And he didn't say, do this in remembrance of the cross. I think this is significance. He says, do it in remembrance of who I am. Amen. Remember me. Yeah. All of Christ, right? The union we have with him, the blessings that we have with him. And then there's, when you get to Corinthians, Paul uses a really powerful phrase where there's this participation we end up having in communion, right? Mm-hmm. He says this, 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessings that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? I mean, this is so good. This is Bovink. He says, of primary importance in the Lord's Supper is what God does, not what we do. Yeah. The Lord's Supper is above all a gift of God, a benefit of Christ, a measure of communicating his grace. Mm-hmm. So the way in which, you know, we think of radicalism is like, I need to dedicate my life to these radical events of like, either it's personal Bible studying or going downtown or whatever it is. And God's like, oh, dear child, you want the most significant thing for your soul.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Or the mission trip that we're going to take. Or whatever it is, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it says, no, if you want to know what is the most powerful thing that you need to come and receive it. Remember of me. And then remember the blessing. Because when he says the cup of blessing, we forget that what this means is that all of the benefits of Christ are ministered to our souls, mm-hmm. given to us in the communication of it. It's overwhelming. One more point.
No, you're good.
He says, this is Matthew 26. He says, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's house. Oh, every time we take communion, there's a pointing to the future hope that we have. That this is an appetizer. Our soul will be fed, our soul will be nourished, but it's not the entire means. The full means is yet to come.
Well, yeah, and that we when we eat and drink this, you know, as surely as we do, Christ died for us and he's with us. And as surely as we do this, we'll do it with him. Mm. And that's a remarkable thought. Yeah, that this is the future that we have in the Lord Jesus, where we will eat and drink with him in a new heavens and a new earth, where it's no longer a rat race. We're no longer exhausted. We're no longer, there's no fear. You know, nothing will ever turn for the worse. You know, all of that. Anyway, the other shoe will never drop. What a day.
That's right.
What a day. All right, so I'm going to make a couple of comments here. And, you know, we just talked about a conference that we're doing next April. And I'm not trying to tell everybody, like, don't go. But even, let's talk about that. I mean, I think we tend to look at conferences as like this holy grail, like this is the thing. This is going to be the event of my Christian year, you know? And it's like, man, I hope it's good to get together. It's good to meet Christians from other places. It's good to enjoy each other and encourage each other and to hear some good messages and some good thoughts about things that might, hey, yeah, I think I've thought about that before, but maybe that gives me a new way to think or a new way to articulate. That's wonderful. And so come to Asheville next April, by all means. We'd love to meet you. And at the same time, I'll just speak for myself. There is far more weight and import in what I do every Lord's Day in my local church than there is in any conference I speak at. The same is true for you. There is more import and weight for any of us who ever go and attend conferences in what we do in our local church, living with those brothers and sisters week over week. That is far more important. It is what will sustain and nourish, you know? And let us have that perspective where we're not always looking toward the big, exciting, shiny thing. It's like, oh no, those are great when they occur and we'll avail ourselves of them when we can. But the steady diet that nourishes my soul is what I get week over week. My favorite preacher is my pastor. You know, that kind of stuff. That's a healthy, godly perspective. Mm-hmm. The people that I know best and that I love most are those brothers and sisters that I've locked arms with in my own local church, not, you know, my social media crowd. I'm not saying don't be friends with people on Facebook. I don't hear what I'm not saying. But it's just interesting how modern life has posed unique temptations to us. And I do think does make it difficult to be committed to the ordinary. Because, man, every time you get on Twitter or TikTok or whatever you do, you're constantly drawn to platform. Mm-hmm. You're drawn to shine and polish.
Yeah.
And rather than, oh, you know, I got on Twitter today and now I'm really encouraged to go to my local church on Sunday. That often is not the takeaway. Just interesting.
Well, even in like Justin and I, you know, we have the opportunity to use this podcast, which we are thankful for.
Yeah. And praise the Lord.
Our mission is to build up the body of Christ at large. So the individual members, and then encourage them to be a part of their local bodies that they can be effective in those churches. Right. So if we ever became a stumbling block for people to not go to church, man, we would shut this thing down and donate all the money somewhere else.
Yeah,
it's just I'm not interested in that. We got an email. I haven't told you this yet today, but we got another email of somebody who'd been out of the church for over 15 years and they started going back to church listening to Theocast. Now that encourages me. You know, when believers speak to each other and we encourage each other and we lift each other up, it should be that which invigorates. And the thing is, Justin, when you really realize the spiritual war, the power of our words, you know, what does Paul say? The weapons of our warfare are divine power. And what does he talk about? The truth that we have in Christ. Mm-hmm. We start speaking that to one another. You have no clue what God will use taking the words out of your mouth and putting it into the heart and the minds of the person across from you. And when you do it week in and week out and you're faithful to do that, you have no clue what that will do to encourage that person. Yeah. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to have this constant meetup, this family reunion where we're going to be hearing from each other about, you know, when you just sat down and just had that cup of coffee with me, and when you prayed for me, when you said that you were going to pray for me, when you came over and did this, if you just go read 1 Peter is a great example.
Yeah.
These poor people were worried about dying and literally dying. Peter's just like, look, don't be surprised by your suffering. Love those and respect those who are in authority over you. Care for your church. Love your elders. Keep preaching the gospel. Focus on the hope that is to come. keep your minds pure, renew your mind. You know, it's literally, it's like, you can hear him. It's like, hey, okay, let's just learn how we're going to do this one more day, one more day, one more day. And it's interesting how, this is the last verse I'll quote, but how Paul describes, he goes, God did not choose that which was strong, but that which weak to shame the wise. And so he isn't looking for powerhouse Christians. He's looking for people who will walk by faith in their weakness, trusting in the Lord and realizing it's sufficient to do his work, his way, not some radical way.
Yeah. I mean, the last several chapters of Romans are very similar, you know, to the exhortations are very ordinary. It's like, you know, in light of the mercy of God, don't be conformed to the world, but present yourselves as living sacrifices because you're being built into a household in which God lives. And so use your gifts humbly in the church. Don't think more of yourself than you should, but don't dismiss the fact that you're useful in the body. Love what's good, hate what's evil, practice hospitality, be charitable. You know, don't avenge yourselves, trust God, leave that to the Lord. Submit to the government, actually, while you're at it. You know, just be good citizens. And then they're going to be strong and weak people in the church, and you need to bear with one another and not cast shade, you know? And your unity is such a priority. And it's like, it's very ordinary stuff that the Lord concerns himself with. And a life lived in the context of a church where you give yourself to those ordinary things is a life well lived that glorifies God very much. And maybe you've never heard somebody say that to you, and you're hearing it today, that your life lived in a way that you think is very unimpressive to you is actually something that God is quite pleased with. So be encouraged.
And uses. And there's so, the thing is when this, Justin, I'll say this. I was talking to a friend of mine who, I'll leave it as anonymous, but they're not in my church. And they were just describing to me how they host this Bible study and they've got this men's and women's group and they're just really involved. And you could see the joy in his face of just, he just wants to be there to serve his church, be involved. He's excited to see what's going on in people's lives. And somehow we think this ordinary life is mundane and boring. But if you could see the look on his face of like all these people he sees that are being encouraged and helped and people who are struggling with addiction, and he's honored that the Lord's going to use him. I mean, Justin, you get involved in your church, you're going to have the promises of Christ when it says, no greater joy than this than to lay your life down for someone else. You'll have joy in doing that.
You know, you want to honor God with your life. It's like, you want to do something extraordinary and be used of God, even in your own local context. It's like, hey, go to the weekly prayer meeting, you know, something as mundane as that. Yeah. I don't care if it's 7 or 8 people in a room, pray, go to the weekly prayer meeting. Or, you know, when people, however needs are made known in your church context, when needs are made known, just go sit with the kids so that somebody can go do something they have to do. Just very simple stuff. Take somebody a meal. It's not the stuff that we think about, you know, that really does, it does build the kingdom of Christ.
Hey, Justin, what if I came to you and I pitched this idea? I said, what if I told you, I know a way for you to help 75 to 150 people become extremely strong in Christ, like their faith, their hope, their joy. What if I told you there's a way that you personally could do that? 75 to 150 people, are you interested? And you're going to obviously say, yeah, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Great. Paul says when the body functions properly, it builds itself up in Christ. So therefore, function properly, right? Be a part of the body. Do your role and you can be a part of this powerful spirit coming and changing people's lives versus burning yourself out and really end up not being effective at all. And then we're not saying don't be a missionary. Don't go to mission homes. Don't go on mission trips. Don't go to conferences. Not what we're saying. What we're saying is understand how God uses the ordinary life through extraordinary ways.
No word, dude. Last encouragement from me is find a local church where the gospel's preached. Show up every week, not showing up thinking that you're bringing something just astonishingly wonderful. Like, don't think that you're showing up to corporate worship to give God something that he needs from you. Show up every Sunday with hope and expectation that the faithful God who has saved you is going to meet you once again and you get to receive from him. And you're going to do that alongside the family of God, your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Just show up every week and do that. And then have one even one conversation with another church member where you ask somebody, like, how are you? Mm. How's your soul? You know, how did the week go? Or you mentioned this to me a couple of weeks ago that that things have been really rough with your job, or you mentioned that you and your spouse, you guys are struggling a little bit. How are you doing? It can be that simple. And the Lord uses that stuff and uses those interactions, and he uses that time that we have together week over week to produce so much wonderful fruit. And we have to be able to be where our feet are. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to calm down enough and rest in Christ and trust in his sufficiency so that we can actually exhale, and I can actually look around and see the people who are right in front of me, and I can love and serve them this week. Mm. And God is glorified, and his church is Amen. Built, and his people Amen. Are saved. Yeah.
It is refreshing to know that God is glorified and that his kingdom is advancing because I've loved my family and my church well.
Exactly.
That's relieving. Exactly. It's very relieving to know. Awesome. Well, thank you, JP, for doing this podcast with me, and hopefully you've been encouraged. I know I have by listening to my brother, and we're thankful that you've been listening to us. Our prayer is that we get to see you face-to-face in front of our King next week, but if not, we, Lord willing, have another podcast for you. And it's a little different from this week. A little different, a little spicy. You'll have to come back and listen. Do you want, should we tell them? You want to tell them?
We could. I mean, or, you know, even the irony of, I realize everything that we just said, here we are, like we have a podcast, and there's a platform that the Lord has built.
Yeah.
I know, it is ironic, right?
It is.
But we're just, you know, we're just two guys that the Lord has given us this, and people listen to podcasts. And so, well, let's say some true things about Jesus and point people to the local church. And so that's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Amen. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, come back. I'm not going to say what it is. Come back for next week. I might kill the mode. Let's see.
Don't kill the vibe, John. I'll tell you this.
There are some radical things happening on the internet that need to stop. And that's what we're going to talk about. So
I find Christian Twitter very encouraging.
There you go. And when it's off, it's great. When it's on, it's not so much. All right. See you soon.
Hey everyone, before you go, Justin and I first wanted to say thank you. And if this has been encouraging to you in any way, please feel free to share it. But we also need your support. And it's when you give that it really helps us financially reach more people. So the next time you consider giving to a ministry, we hope that you would pray about Theocast and partner with us as we share the gospel around the world.